on the map. WGN Radio gives insight and explores unique exotic vacation destinations all over the world. On the map, from Miami to Santorini. Plan your next adventure on the map. Here's Dave Plyer.
All right, tonight we are exploring our nation's capitals. We head into Monday's presidential inauguration. Washington, D.C. was founded 235 years ago. The U.S. Capitol is a compact city on the Potomac River, bordering the states of Maryland and Virginia. It's defined by imposing neoclassical monuments and buildings, including the iconic ones that house the federal government's three branches, the Capitol, the White House, and the Supreme Court. It's also home to iconic museums and performing arts venues such as the Kennedy Center. It's truly an architectural and historical masterpiece. Elliot Ferguson, president and CEO of Destination DC, it's Washington.org, joins us on the map. Welcome in, Elliot, and great to speak to you again.
Hey, Dave, always a pleasure.
Yeah, we are days away from President Donald J. Trump's inauguration as he returns to the White House. And when you think of DC, images of historic monuments may come to mind. However, beyond its renowned landmarks, the nation's capital is a treasure trove of leisure, entertainment, dining, and wellness experiences waiting to be discovered, isn't it, Elliot?
You know, you're absolutely right. And as much as we appreciate people coming for what we call the federal experience of monuments, memorials, and museums, there are so many different areas and ways in which you can enjoy the nation's capital above and beyond that experience that we love visitors to come and explore. And that's one of the things that people normally say about Washington, especially international visitors, is that they had no idea how walkable D.C. is, how green it is. And as you referenced earlier, the vast array of architecture that exists in this amazing city.
So very true. So very true. And despite where you land in politics, you know, it is the presidential inauguration on Monday. It's been moved to the Capitol because of the frigid temps. But I am sure there is so much happening in Washington this weekend and on Monday.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, as we look at the inaugural activities, we cannot forget that it's the Dr. Martin Luther King
yes, it is.
Jr. Memorial Day weekend as well. So there are going to be a lot of activities associated with that. But with the inauguration comes several visitors to the city, normally in the hundreds of thousands, that are going to be attending inaugural balls, but also eating in the restaurants that Washington have. Similar to Chicago, there's nothing like Condé Nast and others really referencing the amazing food scene in a city. Michelin Guide did it for us. They did it for Chicago in terms of validating how great the food scene here is. And our goal is to make sure that visitors coming to the city not only know about things in which they can do that are traditional, but also things that are not necessarily on the National Mall, including, you know, neighborhood eateries, restaurants, and what I call some of the best kept secrets in terms of places to visit in Washington.
You know, I've been to Washington, D.C. many, many times, and, you know, you could never do all of Washington, D.C. in one trip, even for a long weekend. But at Washington.org, and I love your website, you really provide itineraries for days, like 3 days, a bucket list of things to do in the winter, simple guides that I found with endless things to do even this spring. But the website really does have an opportunity for people to explore and plan their trip. And that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always positive feedback from visitors and from those that plan trips to destinations to say to us that we went to your website, we saw some suggested itineraries, and they were perfect for what we wanted to do. The fact that, you know, the National Zoo, which is a part of the Smithsonian, not on the National Mall, is free. And, of course, there's a lot of momentum as the pandas are making their public debut on January 24th. And of course, the amazing events like the Cherry Blossom Festival, the fact that we're hosting World Pride this year, second time in the United States since 2019, FIFA World Cup, Jazz Festival, the list goes on and on. These things really resonate with visitors and give them a different sense of how diverse Washington is as a destination. So few people know that Rock Creek Park is actually larger than Central Park. Same architect, but larger and more diverse in terms of things you can do. And that really blows people's minds because they're so accustomed to seeing the Washington Monument or the Supreme Court or some of the other iconic buildings in the background, that they don't notice the green space. And of course, the Anacostia River and the Potomac River that both flank Washington as a destination.
Next Friday, you mentioned the National Zoo. Next Friday, the 24th. Yeah, these pandas are being showcased. And that's a really exciting experience, especially for Washington, D.C.
It is. I mean, in 1972, the first gift of pandas to the United States during the Nixon administration, it was a big deal. It was a big deal in terms of diplomacy, and it still is. You know, I'm on the board of the National Zoo, and as we were watching pandas leave, you know, not even 24 months ago, and everybody was saddened, it was really refreshing to work with the Chinese embassy. And no matter what, as you said, no matter what your politics and or the political climate globally, pandas resonate as a sense of diplomacy.
Yeah.
And all things associated with conversations were tied to bringing pandas back to the United States and, of course, to the National Zoo. So we're really, really excited about their debut.
Let's get you back to On the Map. Here's Dave Plyer.
All right, we are talking to Elliot Ferguson, President and CEO of Destination DC. Washington.org is the website. African-American history and culture are an essential part of DC's identity, which means that there are numerous ways and opportunities to celebrate Black History Month in the city this coming February.
You're absolutely right. You know, and even as early as this Monday, as we referenced, it's the King holiday in Washington, which resonates simply because of the monument. I'm one of the few monuments mm-hmm. to a private citizen on the National Mall. And then, of course, as we look at all of the activities associated with Black History Month, you know, Washington, D.C. has always been noted as Chocolate City. And it's simply because of the large and diverse population mm-hmm. of Black and brown Americans that and international folks that live in Washington, D.C. So Black History Month is a great time to come to the city. The African American Museum, the American Museum of African Art and Culture, the Anacostia Museum, the new Go-Go Museum, which celebrates Washington's iconic music scene, and so much more. And as you said earlier, our website is where people can go to find out how they can navigate that vast array of things that will be happening in the month of February.
And that's Washington.org. I do want to talk about some of the staples of Washington. You said, you know, more of the federal government experience, Washington, and all the ways to explore American history. Let's start with the National Mall. There's the Arlington National Cemetery, the Smithsonian, the Library of Congress, but let's start with the National Mall.
Yeah, the National Mall is basically considered as America's front yard. If you're in Europe, it would be called a garden. But it's the space in Washington, which is, of course, part of the National Park Service, which a lot of the green space in Washington is, whereas you see some of the larger gatherings in between the U.S. Capitol building all the way to the Lincoln Memorial. When you think of the I Have a Dream speech in Washington, D.C., the new World War II Memorial, and so many different museums, including the African American Museum, the Museum of Native American History, the Museum of Native Indian American History, all of those flank the National Mall. So, you know, unique events like the Folklife Festival, of course, the inauguration, unfortunately, except for this year and the last inauguration, and so many major events, the 4th of July, one of the largest in the country, take place on the National Mall, and it is noted as a part of America that globally is recognized by visitors that are coming into the U.S.
The Smithsonian Institution and the museums are pretty overwhelming, I have to say. Like, you know, we were there for maybe 3 or 4 days, but I will say that, you know, you had to kind of pick and choose what you wanted to visit and what part of history you wanted to explore a little bit more. But the Smithsonian, my God, there's so much to offer there.
The one thing I'll say about the Smithsonian is that, you know, I always start off by asking a person, even a Washingtonian, how many Smithsonians are there in Washington, D.C.? It's amazing that people don't realize that there's 16 of them.
Yeah.
They're all free, and they are so, you know, uniquely diverse and interactive, you know, from those in Washington, D.C., but let's not exclude the Udvar-Hazy Center near Dulles Airport, where as you see some of the larger birds of flight, such as the space shuttle, and those that played a role in supersonic flight. The list goes on and on. But the Smithsonians are free to the public, diverse in so many different ways. And the thing that I appreciate the most is that a person will come into the city and they'll say, I want to go to four museums, four Smithsonians in a day. And 3 hours later, they have not left the first, because they're just that immersive and so unique.
Well, the Library of Congress also, I mean, just walking in there and seeing what is in there, you know, just from a visitor's perspective, another institution that, you know, you don't get to access and go through the whole thing. But my God, that there's just so much to see in there, and realize how much American history is stored there.
Yes, absolutely. Again, free to the public. Mm-hmm. And, you can get a meal in the Library of Congress. Of course, the architecture is amazing. The largest library in the world, and the nation's oldest, right here in Washington, D.C., next to the Supreme Court, next to the U.S. Capitol building on Capitol Hill, and not far from Eastern Market. So not only are you able to experience some of the iconic things and the opportunities within the Library of Congress, but also the neighborhood of Capitol Hill, Eastern Market. And when you leave the Library of Congress, you're right next door to the Supreme Court building and to the Capitol building. So very walkable, which is another key thing about Washington, which really resonates with visitors.
Very much so. Very, very much so. This spring, the cherry blossoms are such a destination, a reason to come to Washington, D.C. Typically bloom around late March, early April, right?
It's you're absolutely right. Usually March, April. Plus or minus a couple of hiccups, because the festival itself is a few weeks long. And there has been once or twice since I've been in Washington, whereas the cherry blossoms actually bloom before the festival itself. But to your point, this year, the festival starts March 20th, goes through April 13th. We're keeping our fingers crossed that the cherry blossoms will bloom in tandem with the festival and the Kite Festival, which is March 29th. April, the parade for the National Cherry Blossom, fireworks, so many different activities associated not only with the cherry trees blooming, which attract millions of people to the city, but also the events and activities celebrating the Japanese culture that are associated with the Cherry Blossom Festival itself, which individuals can come and enjoy.
Amazing. Amazing. And then also, you know, coming up is World Pride, which is happening as well, and the World Cup. Talk a little bit about those events. Those are going to be big.
Yeah, we're really, really excited. We love those iconic events like the Cherry Blossom Festival. I think I mentioned Jazz Festival, and Folklife Festival, things that happen every single year. And when we can add additional events like World Pride, May 17th through June 8th, celebrating the IGLTA, and it's when we can add events such as World Pride, which celebrates the LGBTQ plus community, with over 3 million people coming to Washington, D.C. to celebrate the community, the diversity of the community, the events and activities, the concerts, the educational opportunities that will be taking place. And, of course, there's actually a sporting event, component of World Pride that will be taking place in the nation's capital. So, great time to be in the city because, of course, the weather's great. Mm-hmm. If you can't make it for Cherry Blossom Festival, or if you want to come twice, World Pride in Washington, D.C. is a great time to be in the city. And as reference, we won't be hosting World Cup in 2026, but we've been awarded the FIFA Club World Cup, which will be taking place at our soccer stadium, Audi Field, in late June. So it's a first of the kind. It's a first of its kind tournament. And an opportunity to see some of your favorite international teams. It's kind of a precursor, which means in some cases you might actually have a better experience coming into Washington for Club World Cup versus the larger events that will be taking place in different parts of North America. So we're really excited to be able to host those events in the city.
And with all that said, you mentioned this earlier, too. I mean, the experience also comes around the culinary season. So while you're visiting, for whatever reason and whatever destination you are hitting when you're there, from the oldest saloon in Washington, the old Ebbitt Grill, to some of the latest hotspots, the nation's capital has really become a top-tier foodie destination, hasn't it, Elliot?
Validated by the Michelin Guide, it's exciting to see what has happened in Washington in terms of world-renowned chefs choosing to come to Washington to open restaurants. When you have 187 embassies in a destination, as does Washington, that's a lot of international food options. And we love the fact that there are great Ethiopian restaurants, a great Latino restaurants in the city, so much diversity and world-class dining in Washington, D.C. And for those foodies that say, hey, I want to go to a destination that has great food, and by the way, I want to also tour and do other things, that's something that really resonates with visitors. Those that want to come for theater and enjoy the great food scene, come for sporting events, we have it all in the city, and a great opportunity for those to kind of eat their way through Washington and enjoy different culinary experiences throughout the city in different neighborhoods.
And then, of course, there's family-friendly and budget-friendly hotels, Airbnbs to high-end boutique hotels, luxury hotels. There are great options to stay in D.C. for everybody.
Yes, we're really, really happy with some of the new additions to the city. You know, the new Arlo Hotel just opened in Washington, D.C., which is phenomenal. But to your point, there's a price point and a type of hotel for any and everyone, whether you're on a limited budget or if you want to splurge and stay in a high-end property like the new Salamander in Washington. And the key thing to remember is that when you're not spending money throughout the day entertaining yourself, because there's so many things in the city that are do in D.C. that are free,
right,
then you can perhaps splurge on a nicer hotel, a fine dining experience, or other things. And that's the value add for a city, someone traveling on a limited budget or has unlimited resources. You still are able to do a lot of things for free in the city during the day, which means you can kind of pick and choose and sure, decide what type of activities you want to spend money on.
Sure, absolutely. And here's the big one that I want to close with. Next year, America's going to be 250. And of course, I believe you were around for the bicentennial. I mean, this is a big deal. And what a great destination to celebrate America's 250th.
Yes, we're excited, as are a lot of cities in the U.S., working closely with the National Park Service. You know, estimated 50 million people will visit the National Mall in 2026, which is a huge number. 15 million normally in a typical year. So I know that there's a lot of planning that's taking place in cities up and down the East Coast, but clearly a main stage city will be Washington, D.C., and we're excited. We're engaged with the National Park Service, with several organizers in terms of events and activities that individuals can enjoy. The National Archives is the only place to see the Declaration of Independence. It will be on display. And of course, as you referenced earlier, iconic institutions and museums, there's going to be a huge celebration, and you can only do it in Washington, D.C. And of course, as I referenced earlier, the largest Independence Day celebration on the National Mall. So it's going to be a great time to be in D.C. in 2026.
Washington.org is where you can find everything you need to know about our nation's capital. Elliot Ferguson is president and CEO of Destination D.C. Thank you, Elliot, and enjoy all that is D.C. this weekend into the inauguration and, of course, beyond.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Let's explore some more. Back to On the Map with Dave Plyer.
There's the National Mall, the Lincoln Memorial, the Library of Congress, Arlington National Cemetery. For the White House tours, you need to contact your member of Congress and congressional tour coordinator through the U.S. House of Representatives. But the guided walking tour of the Capitol was probably top of my list when I visited just a few years ago. Laura Trivers is with the U.S. Capitol Experience, and she joins us tonight on the map. Good evening, Laura.
Good evening, Dave. It's great to be here.
You know, I have to tell you, thank you for joining us. My family loved this experience at the Capitol. There is so much to see, and you just feel surrounded by history.
You really are. You know, I started my career working at the Capitol, and now I have come back to work at the Capitol Visitor Center, and I have learned so much more about the incredible art, architecture, and history of the Capitol and Congress, and we share that with visitors from across our great country and around the world every day.
Let's talk about the history of this historic building. I know President Washington laid that cornerstone of the U.S. Capitol back in 1793.
Absolutely. You know, the Library of Congress was first in the Capitol. And a lot of people don't know this. The Supreme Court was first in the Capitol. And it didn't move across the street to the building we all know until I think it was the 1930s. So as part of the tour, we frequently take visitors to that what we call the old Supreme Court chamber and talk about some of the cases that are famous from the court during that early time period. The tour also goes to the crypt, National Statuary Hall, and the Rotunda. One of the things I think is so interesting and we talk about on the tour is that we learn in school that our country, we know, expanded over time, right? We started with 13 original colonies and we headed west. So we added more states and therefore we added more representatives in the House and, of course, senators in the Senate who were representing more people. Our country was growing and the Capitol grew over time to reflect how the country was growing over time.
One of the things that I absolutely loved was the Statuary Hall, known as the Old Hall of the House. And it's a collection of statues that individual states donate to honor noble persons. So it was like the state of Kansas gave a statue of Dwight Eisenhower, gave a statue of Helen Keller. But you've got some great Illinois history and what our statues represent there.
Absolutely. One of your statues is in National Statuary Hall, and that's the statue of Frances Willard. She was a pioneer in the temperance movement and also is remembered for her contributions to higher education. What's interesting about her in particular is she was the first woman to be chosen for the National Statuary Hall collection.
That's cool.
In addition, she was sculpted by a woman sculptor. And there weren't so many of those. This was donated in 1905. And even though I know you are a travel show, let me make a plug for something people can do at home.
Yeah.
We have a podcast called Shaping History, Women in Capital Art. And you can access that on our website and learn more about both Frances Willard as well as her sculptor, Helen Farnsworth Mears.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah,
and there's
I think so.
There's so much to see in the Capitol. You know, this Capitol campus has a Supreme Court building, the Library of Congress, the Marine Barracks, the Washington Navy Yard, the Congressional Cemetery. But this is something that always I found very interesting. Under the Capitol Rotunda, there's a crypt, and beneath the crypt, Congress built a tomb for the remains of George Washington, our first president. And he really wanted to be buried, though, at his home at Mount Vernon, so the tomb just remains empty.
It is. It's a great trivia question, isn't it? Who's buried at the Capitol?
Right.
And the answer is no one.
No one. Exactly right. Exactly right. The Capitol Visitor Center is open Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4:30. The tours are led by professional tour guides. Share with our listeners all the things that visitors can see and do, because there are certain things that happen at certain times of the day, certain exhibits that are there. Share a little bit of that.
I would love to. Well, first of all, let me give you just a sneak peek that in the spring we expect to be open again on Saturdays.
Great.
So yes, for right now, the next several weeks, you're absolutely correct. We're open Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4:30. We recommend that visitors reserve their tour passes in advance. You can do that on our website. But we also welcome walk-ins. And then one of the really exciting, we have several exciting things that you mentioned. We have an exhibition hall, which is dedicated to the story of Congress and the Capitol. And it just reopened in the late summer. It had been undergoing renovation.
Mm-hmm.
Great exhibits, including a model of the Capitol, dome that you can peer in.
Yeah, that's cool.
We have one of my very favorite pieces is the table that President Abraham Lincoln used at his second inauguration.
Wow. Wow.
That was in 1865. And that table you can also see in a photograph of Lincoln giving his inaugural address for that second inauguration. So that is one of those pieces that absolutely gives me chills every time I see it.
And there's some great tours, too, that are during specific times of the day, including halls of the Senate, votes for women, indigenous people, peoples in capital art, heroes of civil rights. There's always something to do and see there. And those are about 45-minute tours, right?
They are. They're offered at different times of the day, and they are smaller groups of people. You can't reserve these in advance, but when you arrive at the visitor center, you can request the passes for these tours, depending on your timing, from the folks at the information desk. Let me just say, halls of the Senate looks at Italian-born artist Constantino Brumidi, who decorated the Capitol. For your listeners who have been to Rome or been to Italy, Brumidi brought Italian art to the Capitol, but he infused it with American themes. So when you walk through the halls of the Senate, which is one of the highlights of Brumidi's work, you will see things that look like what you would see, the style that you might see in Italy or in a museum of Italian art. But here you might see scenes of the American West and American flora and fauna, chipmunks, squirrels, robins, blue jays. And it is just a delightful tour and appropriate for people of all ages. Kids can get just as interested in this as all the adult art history lovers out there.
Very, very cool. And you can visit thecapitol.gov. Visit thecapitol.gov for more information on the tours and scheduling some time to do all these great things. Laura Trivers for the U.S. Capitol, thank you for your insight to all this. And before I let you go, you're no stranger to WGN Radio. You were with the Department of Agriculture for a while, so I'm sure you've talked on air to Orion Samuelson and some of our folks here before.
I certainly did. Really one of the highlights of my career.
That's very cool. Laura, thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
And thank you for your time.